We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we're here for the Big Ten East over under win totals, just like last week in the Big Ten West. We will be looking at DraftKings odds on over under for the Big East teams outside of Rutgers, which we did use the BetMGM. They were not listed on DraftKings. We'll give our thoughts on each team, whether they'll go over or under their win total. We'll give the odds on each. And so on and so forth. We'll start with Penn State, but first, TJ, how are you doing?
Doing great. Definitely excited to talk about the Big Ten East. The last Big Ten divisional podcast preview we'll be doing as those go by the wayside. But for now, you know, this division very clearly still the big three with everybody else battling to catch up. Penn State, Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State all projected above 10 wins or more. So 9.5 for Penn State, 10.5 for the Buckeyes, 10.5 for the Wolverines. Very clearly, those three and then everybody else, as it has been really since the inception of this division, with only a couple of exceptions here and there. So Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, and Rutgers are rejoicing as the divisions come to an end. They've got to deal with it for one more year. I do think it's going to be a really, really fascinating divisional battle between those three big horses, with Penn State, I think, feeling themselves a little bit. I think that they really do feel like this is a year that they could push for a divisional title. Yep. Michigan, of course, winning it back-to-back years. And Ohio State desperate to get that back and push for a national title, but maybe a little bit of vulnerability there, particularly at the quarterback position. So I think it's going to be a really interesting season.
It can be. And just a note on those three, all three of those overs could hit. Looking at the schedules, if you wanted to parlay them, that's not a terrible bet. But, let's start with Penn State. They're over under, it's set at 9.5. It's -135 for the over. So they're favored to go over 9.5 wins. The under is at +115. Their schedule, and the SEC gets a lot of junk for having, the 8-game schedule and the FCS team. But you look at Penn State's schedule, their non-conference opponents are West Virginia at home, Delaware, who's an FCS team at home, and UMass, who should be an FCS team at home. That should be three wins right there. Your crossovers from the West are at Illinois, Iowa at home, and you have at Northwestern. So a real favorable draw out of the West. I think you go 3-0 there. you know, Illinois at Illinois will be a tough game, but you should beat Iowa at home. That, I think, is their whiteout game. It's a primetime CBS game. At Northwestern should be a win. The game where they might trip up is Ohio State at Ohio State on October 21st. They do host Michigan on November 11th. But again, the over is at 9.5. So you can't afford to lose two games. And if they lose to Michigan and Ohio State, they still go 10-2 and they still hit the over. Penn State is my, I don't want to say dark horse to win the East, but I think they have a real chance to win the East. You know, you get Michigan at home. Ohio State has to go to Michigan, and then you'll get into all sorts of tiebreakers and things like that. But you're right. This is Penn State's probably their best chance to win the East, you know, in a while. They're looking for that Big Ten title. They're looking for their first playoff berth. And I think this year they have the schedule to do that and hit that over 9.5. What are your thoughts on Penn State, TJ?
Well, the big headliner is going to be offensive line returning a ton of experience plus a potential first-round draft pick in Olu Fashanu. I may have butchered that name, but left tackle for them. Potential first-round draft pick, major boost when he decided to come back. Drew Allar, coming in at quarterback, five-star recruit, showed a little bit last year in relief duty of Clifford. They're really high on what he can do as he gets experience. And then that running game with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, both freshmen last year, they definitely looked the part. It could be a dominant running game with a complementary passing game, and if they can get great play out of Drew Allar, you're looking at a terrific offense. The question is going to be at wide receiver. Can the wide receiving group develop any kind of depth? Because it's been a problem for Penn State. They switched position coaches, lost some guys to the NFL. You're going to rely on some transfers from Kent State, Dante Cephas, Florida State, Malik McClain. They lose at tight end. They lost their tight end. So, you know, you're really hoping that you get some development from the wide receivers. Other than that, no question marks with the offense, and they should be really, really good on that side of the ball. And on defense, I just don't have any questions about what Penn State's going to do. Manny Diaz seemed like a good fit last season. They do have to replace some guys, particularly Joey Porter Jr. in the secondary. Abdul Carter is one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten. I think that the defense up front and in the linebacking core going to be really, really good. The secondary could be really good. We'll see how those new defensive backs develop, but it's an area that Penn State has recruited pretty well. You mentioned the schedule. Obviously, the big one is going to be at Ohio State. Instead of getting the Buckeyes at home, that's one of those head-to-head matchups that's going to really go a long way toward deciding who wins the division. For me, I've got the Nittany Lions going over. I do think that this has been a steady, slow build for James Franklin. They've recruited well. They've filled in at some good spots. I like Penn State going over, getting to 10-2, maybe 11-1. So that's what I'm going to take. The juice on that one, it's minus 135. So it's not amazing value, but I do like the over for them.
Yeah, I agree. And then you kind of get lucky too. The game that's supposed to be at Michigan State gets moved inside to Ford Field. So you don't have to deal with, the conditions, with the an away crowd. There'll be a lot of Penn State fans. They travel pretty well. I mean, it's you're taking away a home game from Michigan State and putting it in, you know, a neutral field. That helps Penn State. Let's move on to Ohio State. Ohio State's over. The number set at 10.5. The over sits at minus 105. The under sits at minus 115. So they're slightly thinking 10-2 over there as well. Ohio State schedule, you know, it always comes down to Michigan at that last game. They've lost twice to them. You know, obviously they open up with Indiana on the road. Their non-conference schedule is Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, and at Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame gave them a game at home last year. They also, their crossovers are at Purdue. We all remember what happened last time Ohio State went up to Purdue. At Wisconsin, which is always tough over there. And then Minnesota at home. Not the best draw, not the worst draw, but you know, you think that Ohio State should go 3-0 in their non-conference games. The game up at Notre Dame is going to be tough. We'll see in week one what Ohio State looks like with their quarterback transition, replacing three linemen, replacing Kevin Wilson as well, and having Brian Hartline as the offensive coordinator. You're also you'll see there's a lot of transition in this Ohio State team. There's a lot of pressure for coaches. I think Ryan Day has lost six games in his tenure at Ohio State, and he's faced he losing to Michigan. That's what it is. He's lost to Michigan twice in a row. The natives seem a little bit restless over there. They should beat Purdue. You'd think that they would go into Wisconsin and maybe win. Wisconsin's an unknown at the moment, but you know, you look at that game at Michigan, you're looking at a loss. So where is Ohio State's second loss? Is it at Notre Dame? Is it at Wisconsin? I really don't think they lose home games. And with Purdue having a new coach and coming off transition too, I think that's a win there. Does Maryland give them a game? Maryland really hasn't given Ohio State a game outside of that one year. They took them, I think, the double overtime and missed on a two-point conversion to win the game there. But it really seems that Ohio State, you know, they don't have as much margin for error as Penn State if you're betting the over. But the over seems like a pretty safe bet, especially you get better odds on going the over at minus 105. I would lean the over. What are your thoughts on Ohio State?
This is probably not a correct opinion. I understand that going in, but I don't feel comfortable taking Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State to all go over. Well, they certainly could. I've opted to take one of them to go under, and it's going to be the Buckeyes. I'm picking 10-2 for Ohio State. And the main reason for that is that I don't think that Kyle McCord is going to be quite at the same level as what they've had at quarterback here for the past while now. Again, could be wrong. Don't really have any data to support it either way. But there are enough concerns, and I look at both lines of scrimmage, offensive replacing three starters, defensive line replacing four guys that saw a ton of time, replacing some in the secondary, replacing both starting tackles. And I could see, look, the wide receivers are incredible. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe the best player in the country, regardless of position. But what happens if Harrison gets dinged up? Does he sit?
Smith and Jigba last year.
Smith and Jigba does. You know, I don't know. It's going out on a limb for sure to take the Buckeyes under. At any point, they're more talented on paper than everybody else in the Big Ten. But I do see a bit of vulnerability. Plus, I see Michigan. We'll talk about them here in a second. With a home game, that's one. And enough tough games, whether that's Maryland, whether that is at Notre Dame, at Wisconsin, Maybe something crazy again happens at Purdue. Penn State is going to be a difficult one. James Franklin's squad, you know, struggles to beat the Buckeyes, but I see enough there that I'm going to go out on the limb and take Ohio State under, not feeling confident about it. It's not a hill I'm going to die on, but that's my pick for that. So I, you know, we might as well knock out the other juggernaut in the division and go to Michigan at 10.5. The non-conference schedule is, again, a joke. And I don't blame Michigan. They can schedule this way and know they're going to go 3-0, get three checks for three home games, and not be punished with it. I don't see it changing anytime soon for the Wolverines. It's clearly what Jim Harbaugh wants to do in the non-conference. And you'd be foolish to argue it's not working based on the results that they've had the past couple of seasons. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, 3-0, boom. Crossovers at Nebraska, at Minnesota, and Purdue. You'll take that every day of the week if you're Jim Harbaugh. That's not the easiest crossover draw, but it's pretty darn close. If they had Northwestern on there instead of, say, Minnesota, you'd be dancing in the street, but that's still a very nice draw for the Wolverines. I think that Michigan has impressed me as much as anyone these past two seasons with how much they have completely changed my opinion about their culture. I've gone from thinking that they were kind of a soft team overall, that could be pushed around by, you know, equal opposition, or even, you know, by Indiana. I mean, IU had some success against them, put up a lot of points against Michigan when Don Brown was the defensive coordinator kind of earlier in Jim Harbaugh's tenure, really into the middle of his tenure. But they have changed their culture such to the point that I look at Michigan as being as tough and as physical as anybody else in this conference. Now, the concern that you have is a lot of players transferred out before this season, which was surprising. You know, you don't typically see a team having that level of success. Cade McNamara transfers out. That one was obvious with J.J. McCarthy emerging as the guy at quarterback. Eric All transferring out was surprising, I think. But still, I mean, over the past two seasons, they're 25-3, and their blue chip ratio, if you will, their recruiting continues to increase. J.J. McCarthy has emerged as a elite quarterback in the Big Ten. The running game is clicking on all cylinders across the board. And they do have a lot of guys that they brought in the transfer portal, including a couple offensive linemen, a pass rusher. And I think that A.J. Barner is a player that IU fans will be very interested to see what happens with him, if he can kind of help make up for the loss of Eric All and Luke Schoonmaker at tight end. Jake Moody at kicker. We don't bring up special teams often, but hey, in a close game, having to find a new kicker, that could come into play. But I'm taking the Wolverines to go over 10.5. They get Ohio State at home. Really, the game that you're looking at as a possible loss is at Penn State. Beyond that, it's hard to find a second loss for the Wolverines. So I go over 10.5.
Yeah, I'd take the over as well at 10.5. I really think you could have an 11-1 three-way tie in the Big Ten East with Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. But like you said, Michigan's non-conference schedule is easy, to put it nicely. They should start the year I mean, you should go into Michigan State at Michigan State at was it 7-0, and you know it's a rivalry game against Sparty, and they lost the last one at Michigan State. Mel Tucker has beaten them twice. I know people want to discount 2020, but hey, that game still counts. They beat them the next year with Kenneth Walker. We'll see what Michigan State does. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. The game, I mean, the two toughest games at Penn State, which is a big noon Saturday game on November 11th, and Ohio State at home. You know, do they get tripped up at both of those? Do they get tripped up at Maryland? You know, the Minnesota is also a trophy game, but Minnesota's coming off of, you know, they're coming into kind of a reload, rebuild year. So there's not very many chances to stub their toe, but they don't have a lot of room for error if they do. You can only lose twice without, you know, if you bet the over, you could only lose twice, but we'll see. Michigan's definitely vastly improved, especially since everybody thought the ship was sinking in 2020 after that year, and Harbaugh was leaving and going to the NFL. So it's been a real, roller coaster, but they're at their peak now. I think they figured it out. And you know, you get Blake Corum back and things like that. So it's Michigan State's division to lose. We'll see what they do. Moving on, we will move on to Indiana. Indiana's over-under is set at 3.5. The over is minus 145. The under is plus 125. So it is heavily favored. I think that they go over 3.5 wins. This is where I took it. I took the over 3.5. I think it opened at 4, and he kind of hesitated 4. I don't like betting without the hook too. But at 4, pushing 5 wins, it's just such an unknown for IU. But they won 4 games last year. They're over under. I got them at 3.5, and things like that. Their schedule is very similar to what it was last year. You're substituting Louisville for Cincinnati. But can they get 4 wins? I think there are 4 wins on the schedule. You get Rutgers at home, which should be a win as well. So, you know, it's going to come down to, and we've talked about this a lot, TJ, Indiana's schedule. You could pencil in 3 losses with, you could Sharpie in 3 losses with Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State if you want. You could Sharpie in the 2 wins with Indiana State and Akron. Outside of that, and maybe outside of Wisconsin, every game is kind of a 50-50 game. You know, Louisville, you don't know what they're going to be about. You know, Jeff Brom's going to have them ready to play, but they're going through their own transition. At Illinois is losing a lot on the defensive side of the ball. At Purdue, another team in a transition. You get Michigan State, who you beat up there last year towards the end of the season. If they're coming off another crummy year, how bought in are they going to be in for the Spittoon game? So there's plenty of chances to get 4 wins. Yeah, you go to Maryland. That game, you know, since Maryland has joined the Big Ten, IU and Maryland it's been a really fun, wacky series. You know, outside of 2014, I think every game has been, in 2015, every game has been like a 1-score game or within 10 points of each other. Maryland's losing a lot of talent in their wide receiver core. They're losing a lot of talent on defense as well. You know, that game's a toss up. So can they get 2 more wins past Indiana State and Akron? I say, yeah, this is an easy over. Now there's not much value there in terms of you know, the odds, but yeah, if you get Indiana 3.5, I'd take it. What are your thoughts on IU, TJ?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I go over on that. I think that there's enough there. And look, tons of mystery with this IU team. I totally get why the number would be where it is, but I would take over. We will get more in depth, obviously, with Indiana as time goes on. So we won't belabor the point here, but I think that IU is going to improve enough on the offensive side of the ball. There's definitely an increase in talent on the personnel side. I think the offensive line will be better. How much better is going to go a long way towards determining Indiana's level of success this coming year. And the defense, look, it's a rebuild there, and it had to be. They could not play a whole lot worse than what they did for most of last season. So I think there's enough upside there to take the over and feel pretty confident about that at 3.5. You get to 4, 4.5, and maybe you hesitate. I do think Indiana can push for 6 wins. I don't know if they're going to get there, but I would feel comfortable betting this at 4.5 as well and taking the over. But much more than that, no. But while you can get it at 3.5, I definitely would, and I did. We'll go on to a program that I think has is in a much different place than they thought they were going to be about 18 months ago, and that's the Michigan State Spartans. Currently over under at 5.5, the under juice to 155. So minus 155 at under 5.5. Non-conference schedule of Central Michigan and Richmond with the return game with the Washington Huskies. So they'll get Mike Penix in Spartan Stadium again. At Iowa, at Minnesota versus Nebraska. A pretty tough draw for Michigan State. Just a ton of change for the Spartans. They lost a ton to the transfer portal. Have a new quarterback. That's Peyton Thorne left. Keon Coleman, number one receiver, left. Both of them go to, you know, big-time programs, Auburn and Florida State. Noah Kim is going to be the starting quarterback for the Spartans. I'd be lying if I had any read on him whatsoever. But, you know, look, you're kind of starting over if you're Michigan State, and I don't think we know at all what to expect. But the biggest surprise under Mel Tucker has been the complete failure of the defense. They've been the bottom of the college football rankings. They were 111 last season in total defense, just stunning. That has occurred, and also surprising that they have kept the coordinator. Buddy Hazelton is still the defensive coordinator. I mean, I think you feel decent about the linebackers, but I mean, what are they doing here with kind of the rest of this defense? I think there's a whole lot of question marks, not just culturally for Michigan State, but with personnel on the field as well. I'm taking under for the Spartans. I think it's going to be a major struggle for them given the tough schedule and all the questions that they have on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you know, you look at the schedule, Central Michigan and Richmond should be wins. Washington's going to come in at least a top 15 team. You get Maryland, whose offense should still be good with Talia Tungavaloa. You have to go to Iowa before your bye week. I mean, if you start the season 2 and 3 at Washington at Michigan State, you go to Rutgers, and that kind of becomes a must-win game for you. If you lose, you go 2 and 4 with Michigan and at Minnesota up next, and your season starts to get off the rails real quick. You know, you can kind of salvage it at 3 and 3, but man, that after the bye week, there are 4 games sandwiched between at Rutgers and at Indiana. You have Michigan at home, at Minnesota, Nebraska at home, and at Ohio State, where if you're lucky, you go 2 and 2. You could very easily go 0-4, and I don't know how the Michigan State psyche is But if you start the year, you know, you go 2-2 and lose four games, and you're at six losses going into the Spittoon game, maybe even more going into the Spittoon game. It's tough to get them to six wins without, you know, seeing what Noah Kim does. They didn't give off good vibes last year. And I know it's a new year in college football, and I preach it all the time that it's a new year, a new team, and last year means nothing. But with no off season anymore and the momentum carrying through the transfer portal and losing Peyton Thorne, losing your best receiver in Keon Coleman, losing some key defensive players as well. Plus you have a coach who is getting paid a ton of money. It's like $9.5 million a year. How frustrated does this fan base get if you're not successful early on? If you're sitting at 2-3 going into that bye week and into Rutgers, you know, where's your head at? Did players check out? You're right. I think I'd have to lean towards the under. I probably wouldn't bet it because the odds are so juiced towards the under. But I mean, it's tough to find six wins on that schedule. If it was at 4.5, yeah, maybe. But, you know, finding six wins is tough. Next up, let's go to Maryland. TJ, Maryland over-under is at 7. The over is minus 105. The under is minus 115. So they're leaning toward the under a little bit. Maryland's an interesting team. Their non-conference schedule is Towson. All three are home games: Towson, Charlotte, Virginia. Virginia's kind of a tire fire with the tragedy that happened at the end of last year. You had Brennan Armstrong transfer out as well. You know, you don't know what you're going to get in Virginia, but you could probably bet that that's not going to be a good Virginia team. You do have to go. You get Illinois at home out of the West. You get at Northwestern and at Nebraska. Not a terrible draw out of the West. The game at Nebraska comes towards the end of the season, second weekend in November. Don't know where Nebraska is going to be for that game, but you still have the Big Ten East schedule. Can they get 7? That means you got to beat IU at home, which is very doable. You got to beat Illinois at home, which is very doable. That gives you 5. At Northwestern needs to be a win at 6. And then you have to win either against Nebraska or Rutgers to get to 7. And if not both, I think, you know, if you're feeling frisky and want to bet an over, I think Maryland is the over I would take. It's not guaranteed, but there are games where if it goes their way, they could get to 8 wins fairly solidly. Rutgers at the end of the season at Nebraska. I don't know if you get Penn State and Michigan at home. I don't know if you get either of those games, but if you could win the rest of your Big Ten games, which is completely doable, and go 6-3 in the Big Ten, you're looking at a great season for Maryland, and they're taking that next step. However, they are losing a ton of talent in the wide receiver room. They are losing a lot of talent on defense as well. How is that talent going to get replaced? And then, as always, you're going to lose a game that you should win or you shouldn't lose. So the margin for error is there where, you know, if you lose those 3 games, your non-conference schedule is pretty easy. And your crossover games are pretty easy. You could afford a loss to, you know, Michigan State or IU or Illinois, but you can't lose all of those games. What's your take on Maryland, TJ?
It's a tough one. This is a really tough one. I would stay away, but we are obligated to take a pick here. And I will lean to the over. I think that 8 wins is very possible. I happen to think 7-5 is the most likely. Offensive line replacing so much, 4/5 of the starting offensive line, plus 3 top receivers. I don't know if the defense is going to take another step forward. I would lean to not, because the secondary has got to replace some talent. The defensive line, not that special. They've made progress up there on stopping the run better, but still you can push them around a little bit. And again, the secondary, just big question mark there. I think that the schedule is certainly manageable, which is why I lean towards taking the over. But again, I think 7-5 is the most likely scenario for the Terps. Now we will head to another 3-5 or three and a half win team on the over under, which is the Rutgers.
Founded on DraftKings. TJ, DraftKings has it at four and a half. They have it at 4.5.
Okay. Well, that makes my choice. That makes my choice easier. I'm going to go under that non-conference of Temple, Virginia Tech, and Wagner. Most likely scenario there is going to be 2-1, but that Virginia Tech game, certainly a toss-up. They could win that. The Hokies struggling to find their footing somewhat here. The cross draw is going to be Northwestern at home, which is a major pivot game for both of those squads.
At the season opener
at Iowa, that's a pair of losses. I know that Greg Schiano continues to get lauded for the work that he's done with Rutgers. I haven't seen it. I know that they're not, like, they have gotten better. That's not at all up for debate. They are competent. It is not a gimme game for, you know, the rest of the Big Ten. It is for the top schools, but not for, you know, not for Indiana, not for the middle to the bottom of the league. You've got to show up and play pretty well to take care of Rutgers now, and that wasn't the case under Kyle Flood. But I haven't seen this big jump up from Rutgers that has been talked about by some people in the national media that talk about how great of a coach Greg Schiano continues to be. Haven't seen it on the field. The offense continues to be atrocious. But you take away the game that they had against Wagner last year, which, you know, that counted. The stats count in that game. But take that away, they average 13 points per game. I mean, they don't score. They just don't. They play – they want to be a ball possession running team, but the offense lane isn't good enough to be physical enough to make that work consistently. You know, it's just not. And I don't think that that's a way that they can consistently win games in the Big Ten, because the defense isn't amazing. It's much better than the offense, but they're not – you know, it's not Iowa's defense. They're trying to be Iowa, and the defense isn't quite that good. Yeah. And not only do they not hold teams down the way Iowa does, but their defense doesn't create points the way Iowa's defense typically does. Now, the running game is okay. The offensive line is okay. The defense is solid. Big question is, do they have a quarterback, and do they have any difference makers whatsoever in the passing game? The answer for me, looking at it from, you know, from the outside, is no, they don't. They currently don't. So I'm going to go with the under 4.5. I think that 3-9 or 4-8 is the most likely scenario for Rutgers. They do have to go to Indiana, so I take IU over them in Bloomington as kind of a, you know, one of my swing games there, that even if they do beat Northwestern and run the table in the non-conference, I've got them under 4.5.
Yeah, I have them on under 4.5 too. And you're right. You know, Greg Schiano had a ton of success at Rutgers in the, you know, mid 2000s. You know, he had them all the way up to, I think, number 2 in the country. But it hasn't, you know, that success hasn't manifested itself since he got there for round 2. People automatically thought he was going to start keeping all the top talent in New Jersey at Rutgers. That didn't happen. They're playing, like you said, they want to be Iowa, but they're playing in the Big Ten East. Now they're happy to get out of divisional play, but they're playing Big Ten West football in the Big Ten East. You need an offense who can score more than 13 points per game. And as IU fans, we know that. Have they gotten better under Schiano? Yeah, but they were awful under Chris Ash and at the end of the Kyle Flood era. They were awful. Their effort has gone up. I think they bought in, but can they take the next step? And we'll get into it when we talk about Rutgers in our season previews. You know, at what point, you know, Greg Schiano is kind of like Nebraska and Scott Frost. He was the end all be all. That's the guy we have to have. And they weren't successful. Now, at what point does Greg Schiano 2.0 end? You know, do you give him a chance when the divisions go away? And if he's not successful then, or is it, hey, he's our guy. He's our guy until he retires and then we'll figure it out. But, you know, Rutgers, this isn't the 2006 Rutgers with Ray Rice and Brian Leonard and all those guys and Teal at quarterback. You look at the schedule and you have five losses off the bat. And that's not even counting Virginia Tech, at Michigan, at Wisconsin, Ohio State, at Iowa, at Penn State. And then your toss-up games, which are leaning towards losses, Maryland, Virginia Tech, you know, at Indiana, Temple gave them a game last year. To start the season, you get Northwestern. Now, Northwestern season openers, don't know what you're going to get. And I don't know how much it means either. If Rutgers could get that first one, yeah, maybe 4 wins is on the table. But, man, anything above, that's hard. That's hard. And if you could get the 4.5 on DraftKings or the 3.5 on BetMGM, I'm probably taking under on both. I'm not a Rutgers believer. So that's what I take. TJ, if you had $10 you had to put the house on an over under, which one in the Big Ten East are you taking? Still there?
I'm sorry, I was muted there. Yep. I would take Indiana over 3.5. If I just had one bet to make, I'd take IU over 3.5. I know that sounds like a homer. I totally accept that. That is the one. Now, non-Indiana wise, the one that I would take would be Michigan. Okay. Michigan over 10.5. So I'll give you 2 that I would take there. And I'll tell you what, I'm also very comfortable going under 4.5 for Rutgers.
Yeah, I'm comfortable going under 4.5 with Rutgers, but I think I would take Penn State over 9.5. I think that, you know, even if you lose Michigan and Ohio State, you're still going 10-2 and things like that. Yeah. But I think you get one of those games. You might knock off Michigan at home. Even if you do lose both, you're still going 10-2. If I had to make a bet, gun to my head, it's Penn State over 9.5. I do like Indiana over 3.5, and I do like Rutgers under 4.5. So if you're betting the Big Ten East, those would be my bets that I'm bet. You'd blame me if you lose those ones.
Yeah, and I want nothing to do with the Maryland line. A lot of questions, but a lot of top-end talent, particularly Talia Tagovailoa, as well as a manageable schedule. And you're not getting a hook of any sort. So sticking at 7, if that doesn't move at all, I want nothing to do with Maryland as the one that I would stay away from. So, again, you've got three teams that all of those three fan bases are going to be disappointed if their team does not win the Big Ten East this year. It really doesn't win the Big Ten, period, right? I mean, if Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten for a third straight year, they'll be very disappointed. If Michigan doesn't win the Big Ten, they will be disappointed. Now, I think there's less pressure on the Wolverines just because of what the last 2 years has been. But still, I think that's out there. If Penn State does not get over the hump and finally win the division, they'll be disappointed. So two of those three fan bases are going to be looking at the end of the year disappointed. And that creates a lot of very interesting storylines every week for this division.
Yeah, it's going to be a fight to the end for the winner of the division. And then even in the middle division, you know, fight between Maryland, Michigan State, Indiana, and Rutgers, what's their order of finish? Yeah. Because, you know, you're going into 2024, ending divisions, those teams all want momentum going into the new Big Ten in 2024. Sure. Especially IU, can you get some momentum going into that 2024 schedule and start stacking wins and things like that? But anyway, TJ, that does it for today's podcast. Thanks for joining us. Sorry for the technical issues. The computer just shut off. It had 75% battery and it just turned off. So probably not great. But also just a reminder, if you or anyone know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. That's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. You know, for help, again, gambling can become an addiction. It is dangerous. Bet responsibly, bet what you can. We do it because we enjoy it. I don't bet huge sums of money. It's maybe $5 here and right there, and things like that, but it's just, you know, it just makes it a little bit more fun. Anyway, we'll be back over the summer with our conference previews, with our team previews, and leading up to the season opener against Ohio State. Then we'll have all our regular season coverage on podcast as well. TJ, thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of the week.
Same to you. Yep, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right, that does it for today's edition of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on Audible, on Amazon, wherever you find your podcast. Please rate, subscribe, comment, like, all those things. Also keep it to HoosierHuddle.com. They had an influx of recruits yesterday. We have our countdown going on, and eventually we'll have our season game previews, position previews, and all those things. You could follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle as well. Have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the summer, and football will be here before you know it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.